Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Bible is Funny podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in right now, wherever you're tuning in from, whether you're cleaning your house, you're on a jog, you're driving into work, wherever you listen to podcasts, thanks for listening. My name is Anthony Russo. This is the Bible is Funny podcast, where we discuss the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. And I'm recording this at my house, as per usual. Crosby and Finn are asleep. Crosby is going to turn 5 years old in like a couple of days. And I don't know why five feels like such a big birthday. Like, he's turning five and we're going to, you know, get him a lunch pail and send him off to work or something. But it feels like a big birthday. It feels like he's getting old too fast. But that's happening. Crosby's about to turn five. Finn is talking all the time. Finn is repeating everything everyone says, which, if you've ever parented through that stage, you know, has its very funny moments. But he's repeating everything. He's really good with songs, actually. He, like, learns songs after listening to them one time. So that's pretty cool. Rachel's here with me. She's on the couch. Say hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Rachel and I have been, you know, doing kind of the usual thing. I guess one interesting thing of note is that we watched Hamilton together, and I loved it, and Rachel hated it. I'm kidding. Rachel didn't hate it. Rachel said, her words, she hated me singing it all the time after we watched it. I just couldn't stop. I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. So catchy. That musical was life-changing. I loved that musical so much. The King character was perfect, so funny. I loved it so much. I thought it was so good. Took me a minute to kind of get into it because I just had no idea what to expect. Didn't really know what was going to happen. And then it all just starts happening and it just rolls, man. All of the planning and writing and to make all that work, so impressive. If you haven't seen Hamilton yet, you want to put that on your list. Another thing going on right now, I am in Florida. I don't know, I think I say that pretty regularly, but I'm in Florida, and you probably have heard or read that, you know, corona cases are going crazy here, which, you know, everybody that I know has somebody close to them who has either, they have somebody close to them who has had it, or, you know, we're all 1 or 2 degrees at this point. And it's pretty on brand for Florida. Florida is, we have gators. That's pretty popular. We have dinosaurs, essentially. We have the last remaining dinosaurs that walk among us here in Florida. We have mosquitoes that carry diseases. We have poisonous snakes, poisonous spiders, hurricanes, tornadoes. A portion of Tiger King was filmed here. Carol Baskin lives here. This is Florida. This is on brand for us. But that's what we're going through right now. It's crazy. It's crazy everywhere. I know that. I know there's other states. California's going through a lot of it too. And man, we just, if you're hearing this and you just feel so overwhelmed and like the world is just crazy and you don't even know what to do, days are just getting harder and harder to get through, I am so sorry. I am with you. And just know that you do not have to go through this season alone. If you're feeling super isolated, you know, I know there's people that live alone. There's people that are in hospitals that can't see anybody. If you're feeling really isolated, do not hesitate to reach out. If you don't have anyone else to reach out to, you can reach out on Instagram to me at The Bible is Funny. Love to hear from you. Don't go through it alone. It's a crazy time we're living in. Crazy, crazy time. I mean, what I said is Florida is always a crazy time, right? It's kind of par for the course for us. But everywhere else, crazy times. Crazy times. Hey, thank you again for listening. If you haven't done this already, please leave a review or rate this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I love hearing from you, the listeners. So I love that stuff. And it helps out. It helps the podcast get to more people when that kind of thing happens. So I super appreciate that. And I really do love hearing from you. On Instagram is the best way, at The Bible Is Funny. If you message me there, if you have a suggestion for a story or something like that you want to cover, I love hearing from the listeners. Mostly because I just love to know that there are listeners out there. But yeah, so check that out. Let me know. Leave a review, all that stuff. And then follow and message on the Instagram. Okay, so today we are talking about a passage in 1 Samuel 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is what we're getting into today. A lot of fun stuff in this one. I'm going to start in verse chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8. So what we have here is Hannah is a character we're going to kind of jump into. Well, here, we'll just start in verse 6. You know what? I'm not going to do the backstory here. I'm going to let the Bible tell its own backstory. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. She has a rival. Her husband has more than one wife in this story. And so he has Hannah, and the other is Peninnah. Peninnah. And that is exactly how that's supposed to be pronounced. You know what? I just noticed this too. I hadn't planned on reading this, but this really sums it up. Chapter 1, verse 2. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Cutting right to the point there. But that's kind of the setup to how we get to this situation here. And verse 6, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. And this, I had to include this part because I just think this is such a classic line. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? This is just, there's not a more husbandy line maybe in the whole Bible. Baby. Baby, why is that, baby? Look at me. Baby, you got me, right? Doesn't that count? Hannah, so sad about not having any kids, and he says, don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? And here's the thing, Elkanah, you don't really want to know the answer to that question because she has you, and she is this upset about not having any sons. I just love that line so much. Why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? No. No, Elkanah, you don't. That's why she's sad. Baby. Baby, don't worry. Don't worry about a thing. So that's my little bonus part. Okay, now we're getting into this part of the story. Verse 9. Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Verse 12. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. This is the part we're going to hang on for a minute. So I'll start that again. This is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. So Eli is sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. Hannah comes in, she's praying, she's minding her own business. And he comes over, accuses her of being drunk. And then verse 15, she says, not so, my Lord. Hannah replied, I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Verse 17, Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. So I love this little scene here of Hannah coming in to pray and Eli walking up with this line. And I think what needs to be said is this. So Eli walks up and he says to her, let's just talk about what he's responding to. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So she's not making any noise, presumably. Her voice was not heard. And Eli thinks she's drunk. And I think what we get here is a little glimpse into the sheltered life that Eli has lived up to this point, because he thinks that people get quiet when they get drunk. You're over there and your mouth's kind of moving, but I'm not hearing noise. I think this is what drunk looks like. This is not what drunk looks like, Eli, is the message I want to send. Like, nobody gets quieter when they get drunk. They get a lot louder. The weeping and the crying is raucous. There's not a lot of silent drunks out there. And there might be some people who are like, I don't know, I remember one time I was drunk and I think I hit it pretty well and I was behaving at a normal volume. I promise you, you were not. Everyone around you knew you were drunk because you were being loud. But I feel like Eli, you know, has not been around that many drunk people, because this is his assumption of Hannah. You're coming in here being real quiet. You've been drinking. Let me smell your breath. You with your quiet talking over there. Eli's probably lived a sheltered life. comes in hot too. How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. I mean, he's sitting over there by the door. She comes in minding her own business and he comes in with this take. Having obviously never seen a drunk person before in his life. That's the part, that part of the story just has always made me laugh. Wanted to talk a little bit about a takeaway for today. So here's my thing. I like the story a lot. I like the little observation that I don't think Eli had been around drunk people. But I think there's a thought here that we can take away, in that she is coming in, Hannah's coming in. I mean, she is crying. Like, she is weeping. She's definitely going through something. And she's coming into, you know, the house of God. In this instance, that's what is said here. The doorstep of the Lord's house. And she comes in. And this is Eli, who is the priest, by the way, at this time. This is his first, this is like his first response. And I feel like a lot of us can be guilty of that. When somebody is going through something, or they're expressing some sort of emotion, or they're just in a situation that has led to, you know, certain emotions. And our first thoughts sometimes are assumptions about how they got in this situation, recommendations for things they need to change to not be in this situation anymore. You know, I would say the best version of it is we want to jump in and fix the situation. We want to say, well, if you would just do this, this, and this, you wouldn't find yourself in this situation anymore. And I can't help but think, you know, Eli gets to a point in this story at the end where he says, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked for, what you've asked of him. And that's kind of what Hannah's looking for. Hannah's desperately asking for this particular thing. So I think in this moment, particularly those of us that would identify as Christians, that are followers of Christ, I think we've got to find a way to kind of start skipping that first step where we accuse people of being drunk. You know, when people come up to you personally, or they come into your church, if you're involved at your church in whatever degree, and they are hurting and they are desperate and they are hopeless, you have this really rare opportunity to speak life and joy and love and peace into this moment they're in. And I hate to be like the bearer of bad news, but most people are going through a moment right now of some degree or another. I mean, our moments are more desperate for some and less for others, but everybody's going through something right now. And we have this opportunity, especially as followers of Christ, to be hope and joy and love in these situations. And I really want to be guarded, talking to myself here, against, you know, hey, here's what you could have done differently to not be in this situation. Here's things that you can change going forward. That doesn't have to be the first word all the time. I think the church, specifically, church being like the body of Christ, or some people call the big C church, we have the opportunity in those moments to be a source of hope when people don't know where else to turn. And I wanted to tell you guys a story, a little bit of my background. So my mom and dad were together for a period of time that I sort of like loosely remember, but most of my growing up, I remember just growing up with my mom, and she had to make, as I've gotten older and heard some of these stories and been able to get a better sense of what that picture was growing up. Because a lot of times growing up, you've got no idea that your normal is any different than anyone else's normal. You kind of think everybody's going through the same thing. But I've heard these stories now coming out of it that my mom and my dad were both alcoholics, and they were just in a really unhealthy relationship. And my mom started to take steps to get better, started to identify her alcoholism as something she wanted to, a bondage she wanted to get out of. She was working with somebody who was also a pastor at a church, and he was inviting her to church. And so she was really starting to take some positive steps in her life. But she had this really daunting task in front of her because my dad was not taking those steps with her and was, you know, really resented her for doing things to address her alcoholism because he was an alcoholic and didn't feel like it needed to be addressed. So it became a really unhealthy situation. And she knew that we needed to get out of it, and she needed to get out of it, and I needed to get out of it. Young little baby Anthony, I'm not sure exactly how old I was, but that process, she was aided in that process so much by the church that I kind of grew up in, to the point where they welcomed us in constantly. I remember being there all the time, every time the doors were open. And I remember being just genuinely loved by this community. Like, there was no sort of, you know, oh, that's the kid with the single mom situation. Or there was no sort of, like, any of that that I could notice. But the kindness of this church to get my mom, to walk her with her from where she was to the path she wanted to be on, was life-changing. It was literally life-changing. I couldn't even fully put into words the gratefulness I still feel when I look back on that time in our life. We were living, just the two of us. People would lend out their garages, little spaces in their house that they weren't using, that we would live in, and that's where we were. And all these other supportive ways that our church family rallied around us, because my mom was trying to do better, and she was trying to get on a new path, and she was down here by herself. She didn't have any family down here, and there's our church family just stepping into that moment. And it's just forever been an inspiration to me to have lived through something like that, to say when the church gets this thing right, it can be a life-changing, earth-changing force when we will handle that situation right, when that desperate person walks in, when you have that interaction with someone and you address it with just love and grace and just everything that we're supposed to be putting into those moments. When we do that, the impact is unbelievable. And I can't help but think about the moment we're in right now and how, you know, everybody is going through crazy things. I mean, loved ones are in the hospital and people can't visit them. People have lost their job. People have had moments, like life moments, ruined, postponed, all these different things that have been going on. People have lost loved ones that they weren't able to spend the last moments of their loved one's life with them. Everybody is going through just darkness. It feels like everywhere you turn, every direction is just dark and cloudy, at best uncertain, at most desperation. And we have the moment, we have the opportunity right now. We know the good news of Christ. We know the hope, where an endless source of hope. We have that to give to people right now. And I just encourage you, if you are someone who is a Christian, a Christ follower, and you have this thing, give it so generously right now. Share it. Express this thing to the world, unadulterated. Skip the part where you talk about them being drunk and just get right to the part where you tell them to go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked. Because everybody is asking for something. They're asking for hope. They're asking for peace. They're asking for some sort of sanity that they can hold on to. They're asking for something. So step into those moments and step into them the right way. Skip the part where you accuse them of being drunk. That's my encouragement for you today. Eli. Eli is the source of some funny stories throughout the Bible. Well, I'm sure we'll cover another one with Eli. But that's our podcast for today. That is the Bible is Funny podcast. Thank you again so much for listening. I'll do this one more. I'm just going to say this one more time. Leave us a review, rate us, follow us on Instagram. And thank you for letting me be a part of your day today. And we'll come out with another one of these soon. Bye, everybody.